look at a passage that the Lord made a statement that I don't know if they caught it, but it's certainly an important aspect of what we see in the Word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. The Lord singles out the scribes and Pharisees. Now, remember, there are a number of religious groups, and they each have their own set of beliefs and their own means by which they are convinced of serving God is the right way. The Pharisees, of course, the scribes, the Sadducees, the Herodians. We're coming to the season of celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, and it was the scribes who answered the question of Herod, where is he to be born? And they accurately found in the scriptures where Bethlehem was to be his birthplace. But instead of being on a quest to find the Messiah, to worship Jesus, they instead question him, and question him severely, with contradiction, with criticism. And that's pretty amazing. It didn't stop there. When Stephen gives his history summary of the nation of Israel, there's a group there from the synagogue called the Libertines, the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians. And again, these different groups held to their own beliefs and their own way of interpreting Scripture, which was not necessarily the way that the Lord would have them to follow through on what his word would say. And so the interesting thing here is the challenge is for us to rightly divide the word of truth, like Paul advised Timothy. And we thank God that we can do that. Now here's the statement that the Lord said in Matthew 5 and 20, and he starts out, I say unto you, and that is going to be the format that he uses as he teaches the multitude. And I think it's really important for us to be able to grasp what the Lord says in his word, because there's a lot of voices in our world today. And the voice that needs to be the loudest is the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that we can focus on him and put our trust in him. So here's his statement. Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I wonder, there's a multitude here, and the Lord has been teaching them and will continue to teach them in chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. And he goes on and clarifies several things and expands on what is said in the law. And then, I say unto you, praise God. And I'm thankful that he was able to expand on the word of the Lord and not add to it in the sense that he's changing it. No, he's fulfilling it. And he gave them further teaching about not killing physically, and certainly not saying words or staying angry. He talked about reconciliation. He talked about adultery, lusting in your heart. He expanded on these areas and helped us to understand it's got to be on the inside as well as the outside. He touched on divorce, on oaths, on forgiveness, on loving your enemies, loving everybody, on giving. He gave the model of prayer. He taught about fasting. And so he's upbraiding the Pharisees and the scribes with this statement. And I wonder if there was a point. I wonder if there was a time as they heard him make this statement in verse 20, and they perhaps looked at one another and questioned, Did he just say, we're not good enough? And that's the point of the lesson today, or the message today. There's a good that's not good enough. And that's where we've got to understand that the Lord is bringing a challenge to the Pharisees. Now, no doubt, they were devoted, they were religious, they were consistent in their desire to display their righteousness. They prayed on the street corners, they made sure they were very visible, they wanted to be seen. Now, they needed the right motive to do these acts of prayer and righteousness, but they were they had the wrong motive. They spoke of fasting, and they were devoted to fast twice a week. But again, they wanted everyone to notice, and the Lord gives teaching about that. They outright opposed the Lord, particularly in Matthew 12. There's four instances in just this one chapter where they came against the Lord, and they criticized the disciples for picking corn on the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to do that. And the Lord gave them an answer. And then they spoke against healing the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath. And my goodness, instead of a celebration, there's criticism. And certainly had they been the one to be healed, I'm sure there would have been a celebration. There would have been a thankfulness. There would have been a gratefulness, regardless of what day it is. But instead, they criticized the Lord for healing on the Sabbath. They accused Jesus of casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Now, the blind and mute man is healed. And again, instead of celebration, there's contradiction and an outright accusation of how he is bringing about these healings. And then finally, they wanted a sign. They requested a sign. Now, notice how ridiculous that is in the one sense, that here's a man with a withered hand standing there with his hand healed. Here's a man who is blind and mute, and now he's healed. What more of a sign is required? And they should have recognized how the Lord demonstrated his power. But the Lord brought condemnation against them as well. In Matthew 23, seven times the Pharisees are called hypocrites. And eight times the Lord says, woe unto you. I think the repetition here should have gotten their attention that they were not favored. They were not good enough. And the Lord made the contrast very plain in 27, verse 27 of Matthew 23, when he contrasted the outside with the inside. And this is one of the times that he speaks a woe and names them as hypocrites. And he says, you are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside. This is the NIV rendering. But on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. So the contrast, the comparison was what he was trying to establish on how, and he wasn't trying to present a dichotomy, an either or aspect here, a choice. You choose to be clean on the outside, and you're not going to be clean on the inside. Or you're clean on the inside, you're not going to be clean on the outside. He wasn't presenting that kind of either-or situation. He was trying to emphasize righteousness needs to be evident inwardly and outwardly. Thank God that the Lord could establish that priority. But yet, there were many who continued with their pride of their righteousness. Jesus told about the Pharisee and the publican and how they went to prayer. And the Pharisee being so thankful that he prayed, he fasted, he gave in the offerings, and he's not like somebody who does this and somebody does that, and he glanced over at the public, and I'm glad I'm not even like him. And the Lord gave the comment. Who went to their home justified? It wasn't the Pharisee who patted himself on the back. And by the way, it's interesting, the Lord said he prayed with himself. That's about as far as his prayers got, I think, with just himself. Whereas the publican cried out for mercy, and the Lord said he went home justified. Thank God that the Lord is a God of mercy and knows our situations when we call upon him. So the good that's not good enough, that can be a situation that exists today. Thank God good is acceptable. Good is a standard that we measure in our communities, our neighbors, and we look at ourselves and so on, and we try to do good. But we know also that we cannot become good enough in terms of God's view by trying to lift ourselves by our own bootstraps. That's an old saying that lets us know, hey, that's a futile effort. You're working against yourself. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. So our own morality, our own positive mentality, and all of those aspects cannot bring salvation. There's gifting, there's goodness, there's talents, but all of that is not good enough. Thank God, the Lord is the one who makes us good enough. Amen. We are saved to get good. Now, the Bible tells us about a Roman centurion. Actually, there are several Roman centurions that are mentioned in Scripture, but this one is about a man named Cornelius. And he was a centurion, the Bible says, of the Italian band. Now, obviously, Rome, the empire, the centurion being in the Roman army, it's significant that he would represent the empire. But in particular, he was of the Italian band. Now, that doesn't mean you would find him playing a concertina or a mandolin or something like that. It wasn't a musical band. It was a military group. And the Bible goes on to describe him as a good man, promoted as a leader of 100 men. The Bible says he's a devout man. He feared God with all his house. He gave much alms. He prayed to God always. Moreover, he saw a vision. He heard an angel. He had that spiritual encounter that was so powerful and so amazing. But he was a good man who needed to get more from God. And the wonderful part of this story is Cornelius was 100% on board. He was all in. He wanted more from God. He recognized his need of the Lord. He didn't argue with the angel and say, well, look at my works, you know, like maybe a Pharisee would do. Look at what I'm doing. Look at how performing righteousness for the things of God. No, he immediately summoned his servants and a soldier and sent them out to summon Peter to come to his house. Now, Peter was hearing from God too. I like the way the Lord works on both ends. I like the way the Lord is taking heed to a request on one side and bringing the answer forth on the other, preparing the answer. So these two servants and a soldier are on their way, and the Lord is speaking to Peter, letting him know specifically, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one that feareth God, a good report among all the nation of the Jews. You know, his credentials for being good are being touted here. He was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you, Peter, to come to his house and to hear the words that you have for him. And so the Lord was preparing Peter's heart as well to be able to go and minister. And when Peter returned with those two servants and the soldier, and they reached Cornelius' house, thank God he preached to them Jesus. And he lifted up that name of Jesus. He said, Jesus went about doing good and healing. Praise God. And he shared the word of the Lord with them, just as he was commanded to. And while he was yet speaking the words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, and they spoke with tongues. Cornelius, his household, his servants, his soldiers, man, what a revival, what a powerful move of God. What a wonderful display of God's mercy as he pours out his spirit upon all flesh, just as he had promised. And here Cornelius, in spite of being a Roman centurion of the Italian band, he's speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And then Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Thank God. There's the holding true to the new birth message that Jesus said was necessary to get into the kingdom. Born of the water and born of the Spirit. Thank God we follow through on being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving the Spirit. Good people can get saved. That's the awesome message that we see here in Cornelius' story. If you're saved, you should be good. If you're good, you're not necessarily saved, but you're on the right path. Praise God. You're moving in the right direction. Good people might not make it to heaven, but certainly saved people will make it to heaven. And thank God we can move into that realm of being obedient to the word of the Lord, being born again. Born once into this world, you may die twice, but born twice with the born-again experience, like the Word of God says in John 3 and in Acts 2, you might maybe die once. We're in the time of the coming of the Lord, and we're believing that there's going to be a trumpet sound, there's going to be a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. Praise God. So a good that's not good enough, we've got to make sure his goodness is what brings us into his plan and his righteousness. The Bible speaks of the riches of his goodness and that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Thank God. The Lord continues to display his goodness. He doesn't withhold us, but yet it's not a seal of approval either. It's not a sign that says you're doing okay. It's a call. It's a drawing. Come on, I've got more for you. I'm going to bless you with even more. And thank God we are able then to understand it's not my righteousness. It's not what I could do. It's what he does. It's the good that he brings. It's the power that he provides. And we learn to submit ourselves to God's righteousness and to God's word and be obedient to him. Praise God. Good means doing more than not doing bad things. Think about that for a minute. One of our elders, Brother Pugh, would say this. He would say, I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't play around. And then he'd pause and go on. But neither does a fence post. Not enough just to avoid bad things. There's good things that we've got to do. Our church sign out here, our church sign, it doesn't do sinful things. And it tells the name of the church and the times of our services. And God help us to be able to get back to that schedule and that time. But every day, it's faithfully proclaiming those things. Amen. But that's good. But there's got to be more of a goodness in our lives from the help of the Lord and the blessings that he is able to do in our lives. Amen. Thank God we can avoid sin. Thank God we can overcome sin. Thank God there's a walk with the Lord that we can have. And the need to serve him. Serve him. The Bible talks about giving our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. And it's just our reasonable service, serving the Lord. How important that is to be able to follow through on what God desires in our lives. Now, much of the New Testament is written by a man named Paul. He wrote a number of letters and wrote a number of instructions to the churches. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. See, there had to be a conversion in his life. He was good, but not good enough. He was the stock of Israel. He was the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee, blameless as far as the law is concerning. And concerning zeal, he persecuted the church. You know, the Lord said in a prophecy, John 16:2, they shall put you out of the synagogue. The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was doing that. He was fulfilling that. He was pursuing the New Testament saints, the new church. And he thought he was doing good. He thought he was serving God. And certainly he was good in the eyes of his teacher, Gamaliel. He was good in the opinion of the Sanhedrin. Hebrew society would pat him on the back saying, you're doing good, Saul. Keep it up. But he was lost in God's eyes. See, that's what we've got to measure by. The good that is good enough comes from God. The good that is not good enough is inherent in man and his efforts. Thank God Saul was on the Damascus Road, and he went from Damascus Road to Straight Street because a light from heaven shone upon him. And he asked the Lord, who art thou? And the Lord replied, I am Jesus. And a servant of God named Ananias came to Saul as he waited on Straight Street for 3 days, fasting and praying. Ananias told him to receive the Holy Ghost and baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the power of the Lord and the consistency that is in the Word of God to bring about this aspect of God's goodness, God's power, God's blessing, because there is a good that's not good enough. Oh, thank God that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Praise God. And I'm thankful the Lord does a good work. Now, if the Lord is good in all those aspects, if the Lord is powerful to do his work of salvation, if the Lord can bring about a change when nothing else could bring a change in an individual's life, what holds people back from stepping into the realm of understanding the goodness that God has for them? What keeps people from coming to God? Well, Satan, obviously, with his deceit. Jesus said he's a murderer from the beginning. There's no truth in him. He's a liar and the father of lies. So obviously, there's something to avoid there. There's something to step back from and say, I'm not going to subject myself to that kind of influence. Moreover, the Lord said, he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And again, that should be a huge warning. Hey, don't pay attention to Satan, but he is so deceitful, and he is so able to pull the wool over people's eyes, as the old saying is, and bring about destruction in their lives. The sin that we are born into, the works of unrighteousness, the Bible says they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So there's got to be a change. And moreover, the Bible says the fearful and the unbelieving are not going to be in heaven. That's why repentance is so crucial. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so necessary to both receiving salvation and maintaining salvation, an attitude of repentance. Lord, let me walk in your ways and in your will. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. I love the way that David prays there. Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep me back from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That attitude of repentance. Praise God. And we die out to our old lifestyle of sin and stay dead. Praise God. Not rising up again to walk in those aspects of sin. Self. Self keeps people from turning to the Savior. I remember teaching a man here when I arrived, and his wife was faithful to church, so I taught him a Bible study, and the presence of the Lord came into that home, And the blessing of the Lord was there as I shared into his marvelous light in a simple little Bible study. We got to the end, we prayed, and he asked his wife to bring us some tea. Well, the tea was nice, but I was sure hopeful that he would say, I need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then I taught exploring God's word to another man whose wife was faithful to the house of the Lord here. Went through all the lessons, shared the word of God. And at the end of lesson 12, he simply smiled and said, I don't need it. Well, self can keep people back from coming to God, feeling like it's not necessary for me. The Bible says flesh and blood are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. There's got to be a change. And thank God for that change that the Lord brings to us through his power and through his blessing. Now, we understand the natural man is not going to receive the things of God. They're foolishness, in his opinion. He looks at the things of the Spirit of God, and he said, oh, that's foolish. You don't have to be caught up in that. You don't have, you know, and just goes down the list of criticism of the things of the Spirit of God. But, oh, thank God, when we know the power of the Lord, how great it is. But they're spiritually discerned. That verse in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 goes on to let us know they're spiritually discerned. There's got to be a transition from self to the Spirit. Amen. The deceitfulness of sin and self-deceit work destruction that we need to avoid. Amen. Our own goodness can keep people from turning to God. Now, I'm good enough. But the Bible lets us know it's good, but not good enough. And that's what we've got to understand. It's a great tragedy of being lost and not knowing it. And the Bible has accounts of sad scriptures as well as saving scriptures. And we've got to make sure we focus on the saving scriptures. Thank God that he's able to bring about those changes. Now, exceeding, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. You know, that's what we've got to understand. Just the external appearance is not enough. It's got to be on the inside as well as the outside. And when it is on the inside, praise God, it will be evident on the outside. Can't help it. It's going to be there. And the blessing of the Lord is going to be obvious and powerful. And thank God that the Lord can bring about an exceptional, exceeding experience in him, a real experience with a lasting relationship. And thank God, his salvation is not cheap. It's not something you just take or leave. It's not something that is just a dime store item on the shelf gathering dust. Thank God it's powerful. It's real. It's wonderful. And he paid the price for that salvation and for that healing. Just quickly, Isaiah 53, the Bible describes what he went through to purchase that salvation. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, or what fell upon his back because of the whip, with those stripes we are healed. The price that he paid should help us to understand how awful sin is, how terrible it is, because he paid a huge price to deliver us from sin. Our forgiveness of transgressions and iniquities was provided by his death on the cross. When he was whipped and bloody, it was for our healing. Oh, thank God that he exceeded all of those aspects and brought us into a powerful salvation. And thank the Lord, he is able to do an exceeding work in our lives. And Ephesians 3 and 20 is a wonderful promise and a wonderful focus and pointing to him who is able. Thank God there's divine ability that comes to us. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Thank God that there's deliverance. Thank God that there's strength. Thank God that there's a change and there's a blessing that the Lord brings in our lives that moves us into His righteousness, His goodness, because our goodness is not enough. It's not good enough. And He moves us into His power and His blessing. Thank the Lord. And it works in us to bring about those changes that He desires to provide. Amen. There's a recognition that He is able to save to the uttermost. Thank God. It's not a cheap salvation. The Bible describes it as so great salvation, eternal salvation. That's how long it's going to last. That's how long it's going to continue on through eternity. Praise God. Not some cheap little imitation. Not something that is man-made. Not something that come up through church dogmas. But it's in the Word of God. And it brings about a powerful change because God is good enough to bring about those changes in our lives. Amen. He spoke the worlds into existence. He moved through the aspects of creation. And each time He saw that it was good. That's good. That's the kind of work that He does. That's the kind of power that He displays. Amen. And from the very beginning, that's what He did. He did good. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful He'll do a good work in you. The Bible lets us know in Philippians 1 and 6, He that hath begun a good work in you, you can be confident of it. A good work. He will continue. He will complete it until the Lord comes back again. It's going to go on. Oh, God, do that good work in us. Oh, God, continue that blessing in us. Help us to continue on with You. Help us to find that goodness that You're able to provide for us. I thought about that verse that the psalmist wrote. It's good for me to draw near to God. It's good for me. That's not just a phrase that describes how the Lord would bring about a blessing, but it's an understanding that when I'm drawing nearer to the Lord, I'm finding goodness. When I'm drawing closer to the Lord, I'm obtaining more of His goodness. When I focus on Him, when I make Him a priority, when I seek first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto me, thank God, it's Him that I want to be in His presence. It's Him that I want to see. It's Him that I want to hear. Praise God. And it's good for me to draw near to the Lord because I obtain His goodness. I obtain His blessing. I obtain what He has in store for us. Praise God. The Pharisees may have been offended when they heard Him say, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. What they should have done is come to repentance. What they should have done is ask for an understanding. What they should have done is move into the realm of saying, Lord, you're saying these things. Help me to understand. Help me to know. Help me to apply that word to my life. And God, let that be our attitude. Let that be that place where we desire the hand of God in our lives and the touch of the Lord to minister to us in a special way in that means. Amen. And not be pulling back and being offended and deciding, oh, I don't need to hear that. I don't need to walk that way. I'm good. I'm good enough. No, to move into the realm, God's goodness, God's power, God's righteousness, God's blessing. Amen. That's what I want to receive. Praise God. Because He has it available. Not something that He's just going to dangle around and try to bait you and try to tease and so on. And that it's always out of reach. It's always out of not going to be able to obtain it. Oh, no. Thank God. There's that power that He wants to reveal. There's that blessing that He wants to impart. There's that strength that He wants to give. Thank God for so great salvation and being saved to the uttermost. Praise God. That's to the extreme. That's to the highest level. God, help us to move into that realm. Amen. Not be satisfied to just step back and observe and not participate and not be a part, but, oh, God, to move into the realm of greater goodness because that's what the Lord has for us. I'd like for us to pray right now. I'd like for us to ask the Lord to bring us into His goodness and to bring about the change in our lives that only He can produce. Thank God. We look through the Gospels. We read through the stories. And there were people who were hurting. There were people who were helpless and hopeless and wondering where to turn, what to do. They'd spent all. They sought remedies. They'd done so many things, and nothing worked. But when Jesus came to them, when Jesus spoke, when Jesus moved, when Jesus touched, praise God, what a difference. And I'm thankful we can look to Jesus Christ today and know that he could do that work. Can we pray together? Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the salvation that you've purchased and you've made available to us. So great salvation, eternal redemption. God, continue that work in our lives. Thank you for what you've done, Lord, in bringing us to repentance, changing our lives, setting us free, moving us into the realm where we can experience more from you. Thank you for the privilege of being baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name, the name of salvation, the name, Lord, that brings deliverance and power. Thank you, Lord, that we can be baptized in your precious name. And then you fill us with your Spirit. Your presence is with us continually. You're there, Lord, to guide us, to lead us, to comfort us, to help us to be overcomers. Thank you for that goodness, Lord, that you provide in great abundance. Oh, Lord, let our hearts continue to seek you. Let our hearts continue to focus on you, reaching out to you, Lord, to receive even more of your goodness. It's good for me to draw near to you. It's good for me to put my trust in you and to call upon your name. Thank you, Lord God, for all the goodness that you bestow. And we know, Lord, there's the eternal realm that you're calling us to, that you're bringing us to, that eternal realm, Lord, where we experience your goodness forever. Help us, Lord God, not to fall short. Help us, Lord God, not to be distracted, not to move into a detour that the devil with his deceit would try to bring us into. But, oh God, to stay firm and strong in your word, seeking your goodness, because our goodness is not good enough. But, oh Lord, move us into that realm of experiencing even more that you have available for us. And let our faith rise. Let our faith increase. Let our hearts desire even more. And we'll give you the praise, Lord God. We'll give you the glory. And we thank you. We thank you for all that you've done. Continue your work in us, Lord, until the day of Jesus Christ. And let our confidence be in you, Lord, that you will make us complete. And we praise and glorify your name today. In Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you so much for joining us online for this service. And remember that prayer is at home on Tuesday, and then no service on Thursday because of Thanksgiving. And I trust that God's going to bless you in a wonderful way in that special day. We give thanks to him. And then next Sunday, the Lord willing, November 29th, we're going to come together again to worship him in spirit and in truth, to lift up his great name. Praise God. 11 o'clock next Sunday, let's join together as we worship his holy name. God bless you so much. We love you and appreciate you. Continue your prayer. Continue your giving. Continue your faithfulness. Remember, heart to heart, house to house, we want to do the work of the Lord. Amen. And not let a virus stop us, not let the devil stop us, not let anything hold us back, but asking the Lord, God, open the doors. God, make a way. God, provide, and we will move according to your will. Praise God, and we'll see the hand of the Lord demonstrated in a wonderful way. God bless you so much. We love you in Jesus Christ. Amen.